Let's look there again. Finish that off tonight. And we're looking at verse number 10, and then we'll do a little review before we go on to finish up looking at the verse. So let's read that verse together. It's only one verse. Verse number 10, 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we're at. Let's go ahead and read that out loud together, please, and then we'll talk about it, see what the Lord has for us tonight. Verse number 10, let's begin. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And we saw last week the day of the Lord is that time between the earthly return, and this is a little bit farther, more explanation about it, is that time between the earthly return of Christ when he actually comes to the earth again, and we'll find out later tonight, to the time when the lake of fire judgment is passed down. That's the day of the Lord. The last days, which is the verses previous to verse number 10, talks about the last days. Those are the time between Christ's ascension and his return to earth. So are we in the last days or in the time of the day of the Lord? We're in the last days. We're in the last days, obviously, because COVID is all over and, you know, people are going crazy, taking statues down and everything's going in upheaval. That's why we're in the last days. No, that's not why we're in the last days. We're in the last days because the Bible says we're in the last days, right? We're in the last days because that's the way the Bible explains that time frame and when Jesus could return at any time, which he still can even today. We saw that the day of the Lord, talking about the day of the Lord, is after the rapture of the church. The rapture's for the believers, happens before God's wrath during the tribulation. Saw that. It's the next universal event. Let her see there at the top, the rapture will go unnoticed by and large by the unsaved. Hard to believe, but the Bible indicates that even the unsaved will have an explanation that they'll swallow. Could be we all died of COVID, you know, something like that. And those kinds of things will be, they'll be deceived. The day of the Lord is after the seven-year tribulation. The tribulation's prophesied. Satan's attempt, it's also Satan's attempt to destroy God's people, including Israel and the tribulation saints, which he'll be somewhat successful at. Secondly, we saw the tribulation includes God's wrath upon sinful man. Not only will Satan be trying to deceive and destroy the souls and men of the world, but God will use the elements around us, and we're going to look at that tonight a little bit, and judge his wrath on the sinful men, and use creation to do it as well. We saw the day of the Lord begins Christ's millennial reign. Christ's coming will be sudden. 1 Thessalonians 5, we saw that as a thief in the night. Let her be that Christ's coming will be unwelcome. And then we stop there and we'll continue on as we go further in the day of the Lord. So we want to look at this part of verse number 10 where it talks about in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What is that talking about? What does all that entail? I think God has some very important things for us to know tonight. I praise the Lord, and I hope you do too, that though I can learn about these things and understand much of it, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it. Only to the sense of my neighbors, when I look at them, my family and friends that I believe need Christ, only to the effect that that should spur me on to get that word out about Christ. Those moments when I can tell them, hey, listen, Jesus has a plan of salvation, but here's what he's going to save you from if you trust him and turn to him. And we'll look at those things tonight. But let's go ahead and pray and ask God to help us before we go any further. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the many things that are still mysterious to us, yet certain to you. And yet we can still understand the great things and the terrible things that are to come. I pray, Father, you'd help us to learn a little bit more tonight in the sense that it would help us be more of a witness and testimony for you, even in this world, in this life right now. May you get the glory through what we see and do. And I pray, Father, that any distractions, Lord, would be set aside so that your Holy Spirit has ears to hear. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. day of the Lord. Let her see here. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to spend a little bit of time there later on as well. But 1 Thessalonians 5, let's look at those verses again. Review those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number, well, I'll read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll see the thought there. The Bible says in verse number 1, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." The Bible here talks about that day of the Lord, and we saw in verses 1 and 2 that it'll be sudden, it'll be unwelcome, and number 3, Christ's coming will include destruction. Destruction of what? Number 1, the Bible tells us the evildoers. They'll say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Those that are not on Christ, in Christ's family. And of course, we know that includes the Antichrist, the false prophet, which is the blank there, and all their followers. Those that have rejected Jesus will be under that judgment, the evildoers, under Christ's special judgment and destruction. Number 2, the world's sinful way of life will change. Look at what it says. He says, "When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You know, it's interesting that Jesus is going to bring a far better government than any the world has ever seen. A far better way of life than the world has ever seen. But we will look and see later on, near the end of his thousand-year reign, there will still be men, still be people who will reject that, who will hate it to the point where they'll knowingly, almost knowingly, to the point where they know their destruction is sure, but they'll go against the King of Kings. Hard to believe how sinful a man's heart can be, but that's the way it is. And by the way, that's the way we can be. That's the way we can be without following and living for Christ. God says he wants you and I to think and live for him as he would on this world today. And the day of the Lord encourages us to do that. The day of the Lord, it begins Christ's millennial reign. Number 4, got lots of scripture. If I can have some help here, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. Romans 8, verses 20 to 23. Who would like to read those for us tonight? We'll start with Brother Doug. Thank you, sir. And then Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to verse number 10. Revelation 20, verse 7 to 10. Don't have a lot to hand out tonight, but we do want to look at them. Revelation 20, verses 7 to verse 10, and Ren's going to read those for us. Thank you. Then we have Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 and 2. Ezekiel 38, verses 1 and 2. All right, John's going to read those. Thank you. And then Revelation 7, verses 11 to 15. So a good passage there. Revelation 7, verses 11 to verse 15. Who would like to read that for us? And how about Mrs. Colgrove? Nice and loud for us when we get there. Thank you for that. And then we'll all read together 1 Thessalonians 5. We want to end on an encouraging note, because there is some encouragement when we consider these things for us. We'll look at that together. All right, let's hear from, first of all, verse number 10. Let's go back to 2 Peter and take a look. Verse 10 kind of gives a list of things that are going to happen on the day or during the time which is called the day of the Lord. The Bible says, first of all, it says, "In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." The Bible talks about this and all through Scripture, not all through Scripture, but a couple places. In Romans chapter 8 gives us an idea that the fiery judgment is upon the fallen creation. Let me give you that blank, up at the top. The day of the Lord ends with cataclysmic fire. Cataclysmic fire. And if you know your English language, you know cataclysmic means flood. It is a flood of fire. It is worldwide. And in essence, it does even consider the heavens, the atmosphere as well, which is where we're looking at here, those things above, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the Bible says clearly that part of the reason why creation will have to suffer this is because it is dealing with the pains of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 23 talks about that.
"For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only then, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Okay, thank you. So the Bible talking about even creation itself, the world that we live in, the material world is under the pains of sin. That's the best way I can explain it. That's what the way the Bible explains it. And we know that's true. We know that's the way it is. Last week, I cut a whole bunch of brush and stuff around one side of our property and cleared everything out, cleared all the weeds, cleared everything out. There were some tulips that would grow if we just gave them some light. And here we are a week later, and the tulips really grew up fast. But guess what else grew up fast? The weeds came back. And there I'm talking, they're this tall in 1 week without water, without anything. You know, nobody went out there and said, let's see if we can get some miracle grow to these things. They just popped up just like that. You know, that's one evidence that we still live in a sinful world. And of course, man's sin with one another and the way that rebellion is against the Lord. But even creation itself has to deal with it. And God says there's going to come a time when it will no longer. And he says, first of all, the things above, heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That atmosphere and universe we look up to today and see some of its beauty, some of God's beauty is still stamped up there. Amen. You look out there on a clear night and the stars shining, man, how anyone could believe evolution when they look up in the sky and see stars like that, I don't know. But it's amazing. And yet God says it's going to be different when he comes and takes care of the day of the Lord. Number two, it talks about the elements. Heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That is the material components of creation, the material components. We're talking about the end, the day of the Lord, the material components of creation. Very things that make up, what are some elements in the world? They have that periodical table, you know, you ever seen those periodical tables? Man, I can't remember any of those things. But the main ones we can think of are gold, silver, others, you know, zinc and so forth, all those various things that make up elements that we know of. And God says whether we know them or not, they're going to melt during the time of God's judgment. Then it says the earth itself. Look at what it says. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The earth, that's the physical world we know. And it's going to be totally different. This is right before the Bible indicates that God's going to create a new heaven and new earth, but it will destroy. There are those out there that teach that God is going to remodel. How many have ever heard that? He's going to take the earth we got and he's going to make it beautiful again like he did in the new. Then why doesn't the Bible say he's going to remodel the earth and heavens? Tell me that. And tell me why he doesn't use a different word than new 6 different times in the Bible describing this event. New heavens, new earth. The Bible says all that we know will be gone. How's he going to do that? Where's he going to put us? Do we have a special room we're going to wait in before, you know, like you go to the doctor, you put in the waiting room, and then we all come out and everything's new? I don't know. He's God. He can take care of it. Amen. But the Bible indicates that he will create a new heaven, a new earth. He will destroy the old ones first. Then it says, let's look at what this says. It says the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What are those? Those are the records, the buildings, the things of man, the things that indicate man and what he's accomplished. Nothing will be able to stand before God when he creates this new heaven and new earth. The works are those things, those records and buildings of man. We've got some great ones, don't we? We've got some great ones. A couple weeks ago, we went up north and the Wallaces went up there, drove past the Mackinac Bridge. Mackinac Bridge, how long did it take? 7-8 years, something like that. 7-8 years to span the 5 miles from the upper peninsula to the lower. It's still a engineering wonder in as you go and drive across it. But things like that and other great things that you could say, boy, look what man can accomplish. will be all gone. All gone. Nothing's going to be able to, there will be nothing left to be proud of before God. You ever thought about that? There will be nothing left to be able to stand before God and be proud before Him. That's why the Bible says every knee shall what? Bow. Every tongue shall confess. There will be nothing left. The Bible says the things above, the elements, the earth, the works, that fiery judgment is upon the fallen creation. The fiery judgment ends the battle of Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog are those rebellious nations, and they are the Lord's enemies. That's the blank there. Let's hear from Revelation about this. Revelation 20, verses 7 to verse number 10. Okay, thank you very much. So this is the final battle, man's final battle against God, Satan leading them, and of course they're destroyed just like that. Just like that. The Bible says the fire will come down from heaven and burn them up, and there is no more enemies for God to deal with. The names Gog and Magog are not new to the Bible here. They are in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 1 and 2, and Ezekiel 39 mentions them as well. But we want to hear about who they are in Ezekiel 38 verses 1 and 2.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him.
Okay, thank you very much. Now Ezekiel 38 and 39 do not fit in the prophecy of Revelation here in chapter 20. But it does indicate, because that's an event, Ezekiel 38 and 39 are events from the past. These were nations that fought against Israel, tried to destroy them. They were not completely successful, but yet they did have God's opposition on them. But it does indicate that these are representative, these names Gog and Magog in chapter 20 of Revelation represent the Lord's enemies, the Lord's enemies. So that's who they are. That's the way God describes them in Scripture, and that there will be no more battles for God to fight. Not his enemies will be completely vanquished. The fiery judgment ends the battle of Gog and Magog. This is after the millennial reign. The fiery judgment concludes in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 to verse 15. Chapter 20. Should be chapter 20. I messed you up. Yeah, I'm sorry, Sarah. Yeah, the verses are right, but the chapter was wrong. I apologize for that.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, thank you. This is the final place where the unsaved, body, soul, and spirit, will be sent. Because of their rejection of Jesus, because their lives are not written in the book of life, and they had rejected Christ, they tried to get into heaven or pay the price with their own works, the Bible says they will be condemned to the lake of fire. And then those that are in hell today, if Jesus came back today, those that are there today, those souls will be reunited with the body and laid in the lake of fire, and they will be there forever. They do not get a glorified body. They're not going to have the kind of body you're going to have. if you know Christ as Savior, but they will have a physical, torturous eternity. There will be no escape for them. And their spirit and body and soul will all have to go and endure that for eternity. And friends, by the way, when we consider these things, we need to be thankful, but we also should be sorrowful. Sorrowful. I have family and friends. At least if they didn't with their last breath call on Christ, as far as I know, they're in hell today. They're in hell as we speak tonight. I don't want to see more of my family and friends go there. Do you? These types of things should not puff us up. Like the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. That's not what these things should do. They should burden you and me. They should burden us to go and look at our family, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, guys in the grocery store, wherever we are, that we believe someone needs Jesus as their Savior, that God would use us to give a word, plant a seed, maybe water a little more with the Word of God, what somebody else has planted, and see them come to Christ. That fiery judgment concludes in the lake of fire. That's the day of the Lord, and it's not going to be a great day if you don't know Christ. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's finish there. As I said, not very encouraging words from God's Word, but yet truth, and we need to consider it. But here's what God says to you. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, he understood, you know, as he was sharing these very important and terrible things, that as loving Christians, it burdened them so much that they might get bogged down by the sorrow. Well, here's what he said. Look at verse number 4. We'll start there. Just follow along. I'll read verses 4 to verse number, well, actually verse 11. Verse 11 is where he kind of finishes that set. He says this: "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, not of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." So as we consider these things, he says, listen, continue to grow in faith, put that breastplate of faith and love, helmet of salvation, the hope we have in Christ, and let's live for the Lord. Let's live for the Lord. We're going to look some more in 2 Peter as we go along next week, Lord willing. And praise God for his word. Amen? Amen. Let's get the word out. Let's get the word out. There's something to be saved from besides COVID. Besides, anarchy in America. There's something far worse that needs to be saved from. All right, let's find a partner too, if you're comfortable with that. Men with men, ladies with ladies, please. And then we'll pray.